Welcome. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City. Today we're going to look at tongues in the Old Testament, part two. We're going to see that there's a repeated pattern, and we're going to identify those parts of the pattern, and then see how they apply. And then also we'll start looking at some verses in the New Testament, but in light of the Old Testament. Now that we understand what's going on in the Old Testament, then we'll look at the verses in the New Testament. So God can give us understanding so that we can take his whole Bible and the whole counsel of the Word of God into consideration. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 11, actually chapter 9. And so we see that this is the Tower of Babel that's going on. So God confounds languages. We know at the Tower of Babel, there's even a Babel app today, so you can try to learn other languages. It's named after this. So if you talk to somebody about the Tower of Babel app, you can talk about the God who confounded the languages at the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis. So Genesis 9 verse 1 says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." Replenish just means to fill the earth. So have lots of kids, repopulate the earth, and don't just stay in one spot or one area. Verse 7 says, And you be fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. So God has a message. He has a message for the people there. But they refuse to listen. They refuse to listen. They don't want to do that. So over to chapter 11, verse 4. Chapter 11, verse 4. So remember, God, when Noah and his sons and his sons' wives stepped off the ark, the command was, populate the earth, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. But the people ultimately did not want to do that. And so they wanted to stay in one place. They refused to listen. 11:4 says, "And they said, Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And so they were trying not to be scattered abroad. So they thought, well, how can we hold everybody together, keep everybody's attention, be united together and not spread out? Well, let's build a tower. And of course, today now we know it as the Tower of Babel because of 7 through 9. 11, 7 through 9 says, "Go to, let us," oh, notice this. This is the Lord speaking here, and he has to, in a sense, he's in heaven, and he looks down. Let us go down. And so possibly a reference to the Trinity here. Let us go down there and confound their language. And there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And so here we see a reference to a judgment with the language. And so because we know that the earth was full of one language as this chapter starts out. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence from the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language in all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. And so here we can see the last two sections of this, is that the earth was full of one language. They were building a tower so they didn't scatter, and the Lord said, we're going to scatter them by confounding their language. So now they have many languages. They can't work together in the tower. They left off from building it, and they went their own directions, own groups of people who could talk to one another. And then and that scattered them. They scattered. So the Lord ended up scattering them anyway, even though they refused to listen. So here's the pattern. God has a message. The people refuse to listen. A foreign language accompanies judgment, and God disperses his people. His people here is prior to the nation of Israel. And let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, talking about the nation of Israel after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here we are to Moses already. So Deuteronomy 28 at the end of the Pentateuch, almost at the end of the whole Pentateuch, at the end of Deuteronomy. God's message, Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, "And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. A great blessing for Israel, God's most favored nation status, if you will, so that Israel will be the head of the nations, high above all the other nations on the earth, if they obey, if they obey. So that's God's message. You'll be a great nation, the first of the nations, if you obey. But they refuse to listen. So let's go down to verse 15, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, which says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of thy Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So if you don't listen, there's cursing that's going to come upon you. And we see that that's going to happen. So 28:49, going down a little bit further, verse 49 says, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. And we just through history tells us that nation of Israel, at first, the northern part of Israel, Assyria carried them off, which is a different language there. But then here also, Babylon, the Chaldeans carried them off. And so they had judgment. Israel had judgment, and they heard these other languages as these other people came in and took them over and took over their land and conquered them for a time, if you will, and then carried some off into these other nations. So the foreign language accompanied their judgment. And then God disperses his people, 28 verses 64 and 65. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, whether which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shalt the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing eyes and sorrow of mind. And we see also, not only did the Lord carry them into captivity a couple times with Assyria and Babylon, but also later on, he scattered them amongst all nations. And so that's the diaspora. They were scattered around everywhere. Let's go on to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28 at some key passages and scriptures here in the Bible. And Isaiah, the great prophet with many things to say. And so he's much of the book he's talking about the Israel having problems, walking away from the Lord, and then later on he talks about in the latter part of the book about Israel being blessed and back with the Lord. So, but here we're going to see Isaiah 28, verse 12, down into verse 12. To whom he said to Israel, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. So here we see here in verse 12 that they're offered rest in the Lord, refreshing in the Lord, but they would not hear. They didn't want to listen. They refused to listen to God. So there's God's message. The people refused to listen. And then actually back in 11, verse 11 says, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Again, we see here's tongues in the Old Testament, another language that they can't hear it. They're just watching their lips move, but they just don't understand what they're saying. And so that's the foreign language accompanies the judgment here in Isaiah chapter 28. And then God disperses his people, verse 13, which says, but the word of the Lord was but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, there they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Taken, that is, taken away or dispersed. And so, again, God disperses his people. So that was a message to God's people Israel during the time of Isaiah. Let's go over briefly to Isaiah 33, 17 through 19. Isaiah 33, 17 through 19. And that's kind of a neat because here we have a time during the millennial kingdom when there will be no tongues, no foreign languages for Israel, because there will be no more judgment or no more curse, because they will receive the Lord and the Lord will reign over them in righteousness and in glory. Isaiah 33, 17 says, "Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off." And so we're jumping down into this passage, but Israel seeing the king in the millennial kingdom. And then verse 18, "Thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Thou shalt not see a fierce people, a people of a deeper speech than thou canst perceive, of a stammering tongue that thou canst not understand." So here, thou shalt not see these people coming in judgment with another language that they cannot understand. So it's just the opposite here. No tongues will be in the millennial kingdom because no more curse for the earth or Israel during that time. We're going to go on to Jeremiah chapter 5, though, talking about more judgments. The next book, Isaiah, Jeremiah, chapter 5. Actually, we'll have to stop in chapter 4:1 first to get a little context. Isaiah 4:1 says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove." So return to God. God's message, return to God, and you won't remove. You won't be taken out of your land or removed out of your land. You won't go anywhere. You'll stay in the promised land, the holy land. So that's God's message to Israel. But the people refused to listen. Now we go to chapter 5 verse 3, during the time of Jeremiah here. 5:3, "O Lord, art not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Lord says, return to me. And they says, no, we're not going to. They have a hard face, really, and a hard heart also, refusing to listen to the Lord. So a foreign language will accompany judgment upon Israel, and it had. Verse 15, "Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandeth what they say." And so we do know it in the course of history, northern Israel by Assyria and southern Israel or Judah by Babylon. And so they refused to listen. And then here comes a nation whose language that you don't know. You don't know, you don't understand what they're saying, but they're in charge now and they're going to carry you off. And so that brings us to chapter 19, talking about the dispersion. "And it shall come to pass when ye say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as you have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours." They're saying, why did God do this to us? Well, you serve strange gods that were not yours because you have the Lord God. So since you did that, therefore, you're going to go into a strange land and serve strangers in a land that's not yours. So that was it. So the Lord was, in a sense, giving them what they deserve. Isn't it a wonderful thing, though, that the Lord can give us what we don't deserve, grace and mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so here we see that in the New Testament, the Old Testament pattern is repeated for unbelieving Israel. So we need to take a little time and look at these. Matthew 11:28, and when the Lord was upon the earth at his first coming and his public ministry, he came first to his own, that's to the Jews, and he had a message for them, and it's recorded various ways and places, but we're just kind of going to look at a synopsis of it here just for a few minutes. Chapter 11, verse 28, you know this one, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So what do? You have to come to Christ, the Savior. You have to receive him. Of course, for the Jews, that's their Messiah. That's the King of Israel. But he will give you forgiveness and cleansing and washing and forgiveness and mercy. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We have to ask ourselves, have we come unto God? Have we come to Christ for salvation? Have we gotten the rest of our souls, the spiritual rest that we need in Christ, forgiveness of sins, and a washing, and a cleansing, and mercy from the Lord? Well, let's go to the same book, Matthew chapter 23, 37. Matthew 23, 37. And here we see, it says, the Lord says, this is prior to him going to the cross, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the capital of Israel," representing the Jewish people, "thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." You know, the Old Testament prophets, they killed them. They didn't want their message. "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." So the Lord would tenderly, in a sense, take care of the flock of Israel, if they would but receive him, but they rejected the prophets that came before him, and they rejected him. Did they come unto him? Ye would not. You would not. You did not. You chose not to. They were unwilling. The people refused to listen. And so, so now we're going to go to verse 38, this next one. "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." What is the Jewish house in Jerusalem? The main building for the Jews and for their worship? That was the temple. That was the temple. And so he's saying because the Jews, because the nation of Israel refused to come unto Christ, one of the signs, one of the things, the results with that, the judgment would be that their temple would be left desolate, nothing there, nothing there. And that's what we see today. The Temple Mount flattened from the Jewish temple, and now we see today Muslim mosques up there now. So let's go to Matthew 23, 38. But we did at Matthew 24, 2, just here, this next chapter, 24, 2. And let's just do 1 and 2 for some context. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple complex. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." So the temple was destroyed. Not one stone left upon another. And we know that was happened under General Titus, really not that long after the Lord had said this. And so, okay, let's go to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So now we're coming into some time here. So Acts 2, 1 through 11. And we'll tell you what, let's turn this into part 3. Let's turn this into part 3. We're going to stop right here because now we're going to look at tongues in the New Testament in the book of Acts. And we need to maybe take a little bit extra time for that. But just like the Lord had kept his word, not one stone will be left upon another in the Jewish temple, the Lord keeps his word too when he says that God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever comes to Christ for salvation will not perish in hell forever, but will have everlasting life, life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and life with the Lord Jesus Christ. So stay tuned for part 3. Thank you. Thanks for listening.